Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Network. The following show is just horrifying. Beware.
We're gonna carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel.
Welcome back to Microqueers. It's your whenever we feel like doing these specialty queer, sometimes short films, sometimes other things. I'm Joe.
I'm Trace. And we are doing a web series this week, everyone. We are discussing the first two episodes of Here TV's new queer supernatural horror comedy show, Demon Hunter. And that's Demon Hunter without an E at the end. So it's like, it's like Grindr. I get it.
It's like the light bulb just went off.
No, but we have a bit of a connection to this, Joe, because this is written and directed and created by a former guest of the show, Tim O'Leary, who listeners may recognize from our episode on Cursed way back in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to see that this passion project, which I feel like he maybe even teased when he was guesting, is actually now seeing the light of day.
Because we had that conversation about cock socks, and I think he was doing that, like, that was for this show.
Yeah, because folks, if you are looking for some full frontal, welcome to Demon Hunter, because you get to see Dick in both of the episodes we've watched.
And there will be a total of 5 episodes that release weekly, so of course we are dropping this on the day episode 2 drops, so if you haven't checked it out, go to Here TV and check it out. But it was so funny, because watching these, I was like, what did he use the cock socks for? Because the cocks are just out.
I don't know. In the 2 episodes that we've seen, neither one of our protagonists, the titular demon hunters, have actually drop trow in the full frontal way. I feel like it's been special guest stars, so I'm not sure if he's going to protect the modesty of our heroes.
It's been ghosts. So yeah, I mean, everyone, the basic premise of this show, of course, we have our two demon hunters, and that's Daniel, played by Edmund Trong, and Jeremy, played by Tamario Fletcher. And based on the first 2 episodes, it seems like they're going to be going from house to house to, I mean, essentially doing the Ghostbusters thing, right?
Because oh my god, you make it sound... Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, I was just... No, I said because there are more than a couple Ghostbusters references in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, I laughed and started to interject because you said they're going house to house, and I just thought, like, oh, what would Mormon Ghostbusters look like? Hi, we're ringing your doorbell. we're here to save your religion. But also, do you have ghosts?
And as we said at the beginning, though, this is a queer horror show. So Daniel is clearly a queer man. Jeremy is, as of episode 2, maybe not?
Yeah. I feel like this is one of those shows where everybody's sexuality is going to be kind of fluid, because we're also introduced to their benefactor as of the end of episode 2, Natalia, who is played by Chantel Yasmin Abadira. Mm-hmm. And she talks about her ex-girlfriend, but like, everybody's giving off like sexual fluid vibes, and I kind of dig it.
I do too. But let's go into these episodes. I want to offer, I don't know, maybe not a disclaimer really, but you know, it is on Here TV. They are kind of known for their lower budget queer inclusive programming. You can see the low budget on screen with these, and so it's probably going to make it or break it for you. But I think if you walk in knowing that, you might be more receptive of the content you're getting.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of these recurring things that we see when we've been doing microqueers, and we haven't really covered any web series before on the show, but a lot of these have, like the passion projects, they have a smaller budget, but they are doing what they can. And if you can, I don't want to say forgive it, because that makes it sound like you have to accommodate it or appease the fact that they don't have the money. But like, obviously, if you go in saying, oh, I'm looking for special effects on par with Marvel films, you will be disappointed. I think here there's opportunities where you think, if the show had more money, this would probably play better or it would look a little bit better. But you also have to take the show where it's at.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit lower on my opinion of this, which sounds really harsh. I don't mind. Yes, like the ghosts are like, you know, they have their ghosts with powdery faces and like black eye socket makeup. Like, whatever. I thought that's pretty cool. It has kind of a, you know, a DIY feel to it, which I do appreciate. For me, a lot of my issues with this, I think come with the editing, because as I said at the top of this episode, this is a horror comedy and there are jokes aplenty. For me, the editing is a bit, it needs to be tighter. And I'm not saying that in the sense of like, oh, we need to cut something out. Well, sorry, we need to cut something out, but we don't have to cut a whole scene out. It's this thing where when a joke is completed, it's almost like it doesn't cut fast enough to the next shot. So we have like an extra beat where it almost seems like some of these characters are waiting for laughter. And it kills any like momentum of jokes for me. So while not all the jokes work in general for me, the ones that would, for me, are killed a little bit in the editing process, because we just have that extra beat. And I feel like for a lot of these, if we lost the extra beat, this would make it a bit more lively and effective.
Yeah, I can definitely see what you mean, because there were a couple of times where you could see the punchline and then it was like, pause, and then we cut and we got a reaction shot. There were a couple of times where I did think the comedy was actually really working, though. Like in the first episode, they get called to a client's house and they ask this individual, hey, how did you hear from us? And we cut to this Instagram ad that they have filmed. And Jeremy is very kind of like casual and he's very convincing. And Daniel looks extremely uncomfortable. And as they're filming, the boom mic keeps dropping into frame. And you're just like, oh my God, it's such a low budget. Like the ad that is in the show is so low budget and they're trying to cover up as though they are professionals. And I just thought that that was like an inspired bit of comedy, because they're not professionals at advertising themselves. They're demon hunters.
Well, and I appreciate, I mean, they literally call, because this is obviously an homage to the ad in Ghostbusters, and they literally call it out when they're like, so don't bother with the overpriced Ghostbusters. Again, it's kind of hit or miss for me. Like there's a part in the first episode where Daniel says, you're buying the first round of drinks after this. And Jeremy goes, deal. And then he walks away. And then we just have this beat. And then he goes, joke's on you. Like, I have any money. And I was like, ooh, thud. But what did work for me is in episode two, and this is a bit of dramatic irony, is when Natalia is like, oh, you see a ghost behind me? Is it a rotting corpse with maggots in his eyes and blah, blah, blah. And you have Daniel just sitting there going, uh-huh. But it's like this naked man.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, that some of this is hit and miss. Maybe it's just that I was feeling a bit more generous, because I could definitely see O'Leary trying to capture not just a web series, like this is very serialized, the cases are bleeding from one into the next, but also it's giving me season one Buffy vibes, like when the show is made on a bit of a shoestring, you can see things are maybe being held up with a bit of tape and a lot of love, but I actually thought, especially the lead performances by Trun and Fletcher. I actually thought that Fletcher was stronger in the first episode, and then Trun gets moments to shine in the second episode.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, which was weird, because I was like, oh, one of these guys is way better than the other. But then they flip-flop, and not on the show, sadly. Maybe in the future. But I like the camaraderie. I can see it coming together. It's one of those things where I almost wish I could jump to a hypothetical second season, or maybe we need to jump to episode 3 through 5. But you can feel things coming together. So even if some of the production stuff doesn't quite always land, these are likable performers and I'm enjoying the characters and I kind of want to see where it's going next.
Well, but and the characters themselves are just horny men, because apparently the shtick is, this is a screwball comedy thing where it's like every time they encounter a spirit or a ghost, they wind up fucking it in some shape, way, or form.
Yes. And this is where said nudity comes in. So there's a lot of just sexual encounters. And I think, again, that plays into some of the fun sexual fluidity. Like, there's a joke in the second episode when they go to help Natalia. She is a burgeoning witch, and they realize, okay, in order to get this ghost who basically bothers you by edging you inevitably, like, you, which, again, funny premise right there from the top. So Natalia has to go and get this crystal for the boys so that they can amplify their power, because they're being blocked. And she goes to get the crystal, and then she stops because we can't see it. but she does all the motions and the facial expressions of being fingered. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll come in, we'll help you. And then they walk into Radius, and then they both start to simulate having their crotches getting massaged. It's such a ridiculous, silly thing, because they're also very far apart. And one of the jokes is, I guess this ghost has really long arms. And I just thought, okay, this is dumb and silly.
Yes, and I agree. I almost wish it was dumber and sillier, because, one of the jokes during this is when we, again, it's this gay man who's like, oh, that's what female pleasure looks like. Again, I get it, you know, because this whole thing where, oh, gay men are so grossed out by vaginas, we don't understand female anatomy, blah, 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 blah.
No, but that was Jeremy who makes that joke. So that's the straight man who doesn't know what female pleasure looks like.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, you know what? Never mind. It's funnier now. in terms of, like, where this is going, because do you think it's going to be more episodic, where it's like, yeah, we are just doing a, because, yeah, the way episode 2 ends is we have Natalia just strong-arming her way into being their manager and giving them a check with a supposedly obscene amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we're just going to be doing, like, oh, a different house, a different ghost every episode?
I think it's entirely possible. There's enough serialization, though, that makes me think we could be building up to some kind of big bad, or all of the ghosts are related. From what we've seen across the two episodes, it is relatively episodic. And it's a bit of an unusual creative choice, because in this day and age, so much of what we do is binge. And I recognize that this is coming out weekly, so in a way, the episodic does make sense. What I imagine is going to happen is that people are probably going to wait until the 5th week. They're going to get that here package deal for, like, I don't know, some trial fee. And then they will just watch all 5 of these episodes in one go, because they're so short, right? We haven't really said they're about 13 to 15 minutes long. So really, we're talking about a feature length film by the end of the 5 episodes.
Yeah, very true. And I will say, in terms of, like, using the budget, so of course, in the first episode, we have that fight scene. But what happens is, we don't really get to see the end of it, because it just cuts to black, and so the fight finishes off screen. And so that's where it's like, okay, you can see, well, don't have the budget to show this big grand climax, which is remedied in the second episode, because it's a conversation, and I actually think that is more effective, because they can spend that budget elsewhere then.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of felt like the second episode was a little bit better, because you didn't have to suspend your disbelief quite as much. You know, I definitely want to give praise, because this is a web series that's trying to do fight choreography on par with the pros. It's not bad. We start off with actors, and then we move to what I think are stunt performers in makeup, and then we have a fight scene with those individuals. And they obviously know what they're doing, and it's fine, it's entertaining. But I think in the second episode, where we're not seeing that, and it's more like a battle of will and words, and it's leaning into the comedy more, I actually do think the series is more successful, because it doesn't have to try to stretch the budget in that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. So again, in that respect, I'm interested to see how it's divvied up in these remaining episodes. And again, I'm assuming that a lot of these ghosts are going to have issues of a sexual nature to them, because this show is very sex positive and very sex heavy.
Yes.
So on that level, I really appreciate it. And again, like, getting this male nudity in here, I mean, it's not uncommon on Hear TV, because they do a lot of, like, independent queer stuff. But it was refreshing to see a big old dick on my computer screen when I was watching this.
Honestly, and we knew about this going in, because Tim O'Leary has been very candid about saying, like, this is about demons, it's campy, it's silly, it's, you know, gonna be very sex positive, it's got a lot of queer people, it's got a lot of BIPOC people, and also, yes, you will be seeing dick. And it's like, yeah, it is delivering all of that, but I will say, I'm still so unused to seeing male nudity. Like, characters are having full conversations with the dick out, and I'm just like, whoa, I am not used to this.
I think, too, because I'm used to seeing, again, I'm not saying that we don't get this all the time, but, like, I feel like a lot of time it's a prosthetic, too. Because a lot of times when we get nudity in not even mainstream films, even some independent films, it's, oh, the penis is, like, obscenely large, or it's obscenely small. Like, I was watching Sex Education Season 3 this week, which is a Netflix show, and we get one of the characters' dicks, which is just, like, a horse cock. And I was like, oh, like...
Sure.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it is refreshing to have, like, literally au naturel nudity here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's refreshing and it's good. Like, it normalizes the male penis, which is amusing for us to say because, hypothetically, we see them all the time. And yet, we don't see them on our screens.
I was like, you say that, but you're like, I had a reaction to seeing a penis on my screen, which, I mean, yeah. Haha, everyone, you had the joke. Oh, I'm having a horny reaction. But no, like, it's a mental reaction where you're like, oh shit, that's a penis.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not porn.
No.
Well, okay, everyone. Well, let us know what you thought of these first two episodes of Demon Hunter, and if you're going to be checking out the rest of the season. Again, one a week for the next three Fridays. And yeah, I think on that note, we can cross out Demon Hunter.
Yes, and cross out Microqueers.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.